Hello and welcome to On the Preds with me, your host, Alex Daugherty of A to Z Sports and Sean Smith of On the Forecheck. This is the show where we recap the Preds, talk about hockey, and we are in the middle of Jewel. We are no longer in June. We are in Jewel. We're getting ready for Aug.
And I thought they made Jewels illegal or something. What happened?
They did make Jewels illegal. We are in July. We're in mid-July. And this is normally the time of year where free agency is kind of done and we're just kind of getting ready for the hibernation until hockey season actually begins. And we are in that, but this particular week for free agency was, shall we say, a little slow.
Well, depending on if you're talking about the Preds or not, then yeah, it was definitely slow for the Preds, but man, yeah. Some of the other teams got active.
Yeah, some other teams got very active. I think Detroit gave everyone a contract. Mm-hmm. Columbus did a lot of interesting things.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh did some interesting things. I mean, they re-signed Geno Malkin, and then they go get Jeff Petrie from Montreal. But for the Preds, they really did not do much. I think there's been a whole lot of smoke and just no fire in terms of some of the ideas that were out there about who they could sign. You know, would they go after Phil Kessel? Apparently not. I mean, he's not signed anywhere, but doesn't seem like that's going to happen. There's been a lot of signings that, like, I don't think anyone expected the Preds to go after, but, like, you know, they didn't even really make a noise there. But they did do a few things. And we're going to talk about some of those signings. We're also going to talk about Dev Camp, which has been this past week. So development camp with the prospects. I went to a couple things. Sean went to a couple things. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But let's go ahead and dive into these Preds signings.
Get ready for excitement.
So obviously the Predators have to fill out their Milwaukee Admirals roster too. And so a lot of these moves are that. But there's a couple ones that stand out as decidedly not about the Milwaukee Admirals that are very underwhelming and straight up confusing. So like the first three that came down, Roland McCown, Jordan Gross, Kevin Gravel. I guess it's Gravel. Three defensemen. The Predators lost some defensemen. The Admirals lost some defensemen. So those guys are going to go down there. Two-way contracts that are just going to sit in Milwaukee. But then they signed three forwards. One is Cole Smith, who didn't accept his qualifying offer, but I guess they gave him a different offer. I don't know what happened there, but either way, he's back. Mark Jankowski, former first-round pick, and Kiefer Sherwood. Kiefer, don't call me Sutherland, Sherwood.
Yeah, and that's that one's the one that sticks out to me there.
Yeah.
That is a one-way contract.
Yes. So Kiefer Sherwood is signed to a one-way contract. This is a guy that did not have a lot. I mean, does not have a lot of experience, but he does have some experience. But it seems like he's going to be up on the roster. I mean, he's going to be playing because he's got a contract that pays him $750,000 at the NHL and AHL level. Why would you bury that at the AHL level when you don't have to at all? You don't just have to pay someone $750,000 to go play in the AHL. So they did that. And so I think Kiefer Sherwood, is going to end up playing for the Nashville Predators next year. I don't know how much. Is he a stopgap in case, like, one, you know, there's some thoughts here, but I think possibly he's a stopgap if they can get a deal done. If they don't get a deal done, maybe Kiefer Sherwood doesn't even come to Nashville because they cut him way before. Like, this is a back end, sort of like the backstop in case this other deal that they're working on doesn't get done, but they still needed to get him, and maybe they really like this guy for some reason.
It seems like a lot of these signings, even if you're looking at them in the vein of these are AHL signings or things like that, I mean, even Sherwood, a lot of these guys have performed very well at the AHL level. They're not guys that have been in the AHL doing nothing. You know, the Preds seem to have an eye for, you know, hey, here's some guys that have kind of been stuck in the AHL for a while, but they've got good numbers. They've been like the best defenseman for the last year or the highest scorer for the last year, things like that. So it's not like these are just odd. Nobody can explain it. Some of these guys have done some good stuff at the AHL level. And I think if you look back, you know, the Preds bringing in, what was that guy's name? Daniel Carr. I mean, he was the highest scorer in the AHL 1 year, and the Preds brought him up, and he was, you know, underwhelming, I'll say, at the NHL level. So it was worth a shot. And so I think Sherwood, is he the one that did he have the most goals or something like that in the AHL? I feel like he was a high-performing.
I'm looking him up now. That doesn't sound right, but
maybe
somebody. He scored 36 goals for the Colorado Eagles last year. Maybe he is. I think he sounds like a pretty good guy for the AHL level. He looks like he had 36. The leader had 48.
He was fifth in the league in points last season. So
okay, fifth in the league in points. That's not bad. Yeah, you're right. That's a good comparison, the Daniel Carr. But specifically the Daniel Carr thing, LaViolette was just a big fan of Daniel Carr and he's played with him a few times. Kiefer Sherwood is John Hines.
Maybe.
Spirit animal or something.
Maybe that's the case.
But anyways, that guy's gonna play. I mean, like assuming they don't make another sign, because right now it's right. Luke Cunningham out and Kiefer Sherwood in. So
yeah,
that's what you're looking at. And then Nick Cousins doesn't have a replacement yet. There's still an empty spot there. Is that gonna be taken by someone like Igor Afanasyev or Yusso Parsonen or Luke Evangelista or some other person we don't know on the roster yet, or John Leonard, that guy that they traded for, kind of an in-between AHL, NHL guy. It's odd. Right now, there has not been a replacement for the two big wingers that they lost, Luke Cunningham and Nick Cousins. There's not been a big replacement for them yet. Kiefer Sherwood's probably the main one.
Don't forget Zach Sanford.
Oh, yes. Okay, so we do need to touch on that too. So Zach Sanford, they just acquired a couple days ago. So yeah, Jankowski, Sherwood, Cole Smith, and Zach Sanford. So Zach Sanford, thank you for reminding me. I forgot about that guy. So Zach Sanford actually might be a more legit replacement. He had a very strange year last year. So they signed him to a 1 year deal, $850,000, I think. It's less than $1 million. But I could see Zach Sanford playing.
What would you say Zach Sanford is best known for?
I think he's a pretty physical guy. Let me see how big he is. If I remember correctly, I know he came over in the trade with St. Louis, between St. Louis and Washington, to get.
Well, he's a Stanley Cup winner. I mean, he has Stanley Cup winning experience with the Blues. I would say the best thing he's known for is throwing up in the parade.
Oh, I didn't know he did that.
All over himself.
Is that what he's known for?
It's on video.
Yeah, Stanley Cup winner with the Blues in 2019. He came over in the trade with Washington that sent them, what's his name, Shattenkirk.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
He's strong defensively. I think he'll be a solid, you know, solid fourth liner. That's
6'4", 207. At all.
He fits the mold. The all-important stat of inches above 6 feet, he's got a +4, so.
Yep, +4 in that area. And, yeah, okay, now that I'm thinking about it and remembering that Zach Sanford happened, that's right, it took me. I think he's probably definitely a replacement, and I guess Kiefer Sherwood's the other guy. But, again, I think both of these guys are not they're not really replacements. They're just like they're just kind of filler, right? I mean, unless they really think Zach Sanford is just ready to bust out. He's 27 years old. I mean, I guess that's possible. He had a very strange year last year to close that loop. I was just going to mention that he signed with St. Louis and then got traded before the season to Ottawa, and then Ottawa trades him to Winnipeg. So he was in three different cities in a year last year, three different teams. All under a $2 million. They signed him to a $2 million contract. I'm not really sure why they did that, if they were going to trade him. I don't know the details of why that happened. But so kind of a strange year. Maybe he finds home in Nashville. He's from Salem, Massachusetts. Have you ever been to Salem, Massachusetts?
No, I have not. I've been to Massachusetts, but we focused on other areas of Massachusetts as opposed to Salem, Massachusetts.
Salem is cool. I've been there. I would recommend a visit. It's kind of it's a very unique town.
Obviously, well, is it known for anything?
Yeah, it is known for a few things.
Oh.
throwing up on itself in a parade. That's what it's known for.
Hey, could be worse.
Anyways, if you ever get a chance to go to Salem, maybe we can ask Zach about living and growing up in Salem. It's a cool city if you ever get a chance to go. It's a nice little ferry ride from Boston. Anyways. Okay. So, I mean, these signings at the very least are underwhelming. And then we come to the most confusing signing. The Predators sign a goaltender. Any goaltender. One of the worst goaltenders from last year on one of the worst teams. And they sign him to a $1.5 million one-way contract. Kevin Lankinen. What did you think of this?
So this is a thing that's really puzzled me. And I don't mean like, you know, I mean, yeah, the fact that, like you said, he's doesn't have the best numbers and didn't come from the best team and things like that. But what's puzzling to me is that it appears as though the Predators currently have three goalies on their NHL roster.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, I think that means that my brain is telling me that the Predators would be moving forward or would have been moving forward with UC Saros as the starter and Connor Ingram as the backup.
Yeah.
But now you throw Kevin Lankinen into the mix and that kind of throws all that into question. And that's
they are 100% not going to start the season with three goalies. We know that. So one of those three is going. Where are they going? Is Connor Ingram going to Milwaukee? Which would be an odd choice considering that Askarov, as we saw, looks very good and seems to be in a place. Okay, so the other thing, Connor Ingram is not waivers exempt. He cannot be freely moved up and down. So Connor Ingram is either staying in Nashville or getting traded, or just getting straight up cut and then probably claimed by another team.
Could he start the season in Milwaukee?
Not currently. He would have to pass waivers. He's currently on the roster, NHL roster. He would have to clear waivers, a la Rem Pitlick from last year.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, this something's going on. Could have a very simple explanation or a very complex situation. One very simple explanation is that for whatever reason, they want to part ways with Ingram. I mean, that seems to anybody who's followed the team, that seems like an odd choice after as much faith as they've put in him, especially the support they've given him. It would seem weird that they would be willing to cut ties with someone who's been very promising. Now, you know, you're going to look at the majority of his performance and say, well, he came in after Riddick was lit up in the first game of the playoffs and didn't manage to pull off a win. But goodness gracious, look at who the team was playing. They were playing the eventual Stanley Cup champions, Colorado Avalanche. So it seems that's not a really fair body of work on which to judge someone. So,
yeah. And I also think, like, the perception of Ingram right now and the position, the organizational position that they are in with Ingram, combine that with signing, just adding another layer of just needless complexity to it by signing Kevin Lankinen. There just has to be something else going on. It doesn't make any sense why you would have three goalies at the NHL level that you cannot move down to the minors when you know you're only going to start the season with two. Maybe what they're going to do is bring Lankinen and have Lankinen and Ingram battle it out with the idea that they're just going to cut one of them before the season starts. Okay, I guess that's fine. Why do you need to spend the money to even get that done? Like why even like commit yourself to that? Because the money's guaranteed. So it's like, I don't really get it. I don't really understand why you add Lankin into that mix. Just have Connor Ingram battle it out with, I don't know, Askarov or Devin Cooley. I mean, like, he's probably going to win that battle, but why are they spending money on this? It doesn't make any sense.
Unless there's the other possible explanation, and that, of course, is that, and maybe this is a, you know, worst case scenario, but maybe there's somebody they're going after that would produce offense that they think they're going to need to be able to trade a goalie in order to get. And if that's the case, are they planning on trading Connor Ingram, you know, maybe in a package with somebody else in order to bring in someone else that they want on the team?
The idea of trading Connor Ingram is definitely on the table. I just think his value, I mean, what even is his value? The Predators acquired him for a 7th round pick. Have they upgraded him beyond that? Like, is he worth more like a 4th round pick, 3rd, 5th round pick level? In which case, like, there's no player in the NHL they could acquire that would necessitate signing Kevin Lankinen over him. You know, I guess what I'm saying is it would have to be a package deal. It'd be like Connor Ingram and Dante Favreau and a pick for Patrick Laine. Someone.
We keep going back there, don't we?
Whoever it is. It doesn't make any sense. There has to be something else going on sometime over the next few weeks. Maybe we'll find out.
Well, I mean, is there a possibility that they're not sure Saros is going to be ready at the beginning of the season?
You know, I heard some people saying that. I would think not. I mean, he was already skating. If it was like a bone injury and they were waiting on it to heal and we didn't know that yet, but he was already skating at the end of the, you know, he's already on the ice and skating and stuff. I feel like he's probably going to be fine. I mean, he certainly, those injuries take time to heal. So he will have been out for, by the time the season starts, it'll be 6 months. It'll be like over 5 months.
Yeah. I mean, that seems a little bit far-fetched to think that may be the reason.
Yeah, the original, like, kind of a diagnosis of a high ankle sprain and the timelines for the recovery for that was, like, 8 to 12 weeks was, like, kind of the average, and then, like, sometimes it took up to 20 weeks, which would be 5 months.
Right.
But, like, very rarely did it take – for hockey players, very rarely did it take longer.
So something else is going on. I think we can rule that out. So you're looking at either some kind of trade situation involving someone. We're assuming it would be Ingram because why would you sign a guy that anyone else could have signed? And at the same time, you know, you have to assume too that if they were just kind of done with Ingram, that if they know they could they can't waive him without, or they can't send him down without waiving him, they know someone else could claim him, then he has value, and then they would want to get something for him.
Yeah. So,
you know, we're kind of stuck between those two possibilities. But like you said, we're about to go into the dead period. So, unless something happens soon, we won't know until closer to time.
So is David Poile going to spend to the cap? The team has about $9 million to work with here. Are they going to spend to the cap or are they not? We will talk about that in a second. But before we do, relax the back, Sean.
Hashtag,
we got your back, Nashville. If you want to work better, live better, feel better every day, you've got to go to Relax the Back. We talk about it every week on this show. If you sleep well, you will live well. And they have a ton of options for customized comfort when you sleep, work, or just relax at home. Sean's been to the store. I've been to the store. I've got to go back and see about getting a new pillow because my pillow is not working. I know they've got some good pillows there, like the Technogel stuff. Technogel is awesome. It's like this really advanced Technogel type stuff. And you sleep on it and it's much better than like, you know, memory foam or all that kind of stuff. It's awesome. Check it out. 2020 Glen Echo Road in Green Hills. Go over there, grab a shake from Shake Shack, and then head over to Relax the Back and see. Hey, that rhymes. That was nice. learn about the four pillars of wellness: healthy sleep, healthy work, healthy body and healthy mind. So David Poile has often said that he said recently that he had no budgetary restrictions on spending money. He said that at the end of the year last year, the Preds have spent to the cap last few years, including last year. They were one of the only teams. They didn't exactly spend to the cap. They got close, but I digress. I think the expectation is that there is not a money crunch for David Poile. He can spend whatever he wants. But right. He has not done that so far. $9 million left. And but there's nothing really to buy. What are you buying at this point?
Well, I think the biggest thing, you know, a lot of these names that were bandied about before the actual floodgates opened have gone for much bigger contracts. And I think a lot of people were expecting, you know, the market seems to be a player's market. You know, they're getting the money. They're getting great money, especially when you have a cap that's been kind of frozen. So it's really interesting that a lot of the names that you heard people talking about, it would be great for the Predators to get this player or that player. And now you're thinking you could have gotten them for, you know, $3.5-4 million. They're going for $5-6 million. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty insane when you're looking at, okay, we've got $9 million to work with. Still have to sign Trennan, I think, will, I'm not going to say be a substantial contract, but it's going to take at least $1 million of that nine. To re-sign him. So you have to assume whoever you're getting is going to have to come at a bargain price. And so if you look at what Poile said a couple of days ago about, you know, if you start signing guys to longer term contracts next season, some hard decisions are going to have to be made. You know, I think you're going to have to find somebody who's willing to sign a 1-year deal, maybe for a little bit more money just to make it worth their mm-hmm. while. You know, you could potentially see someone like Phil Kessel come to Nashville. He's coming off of a big contract and he kind of had an underperforming season in Arizona. Of course, Arizona is an underperforming team, so you can't necessarily judge him off of that, although he did have the chance to distinguish himself amongst his peers. But you might be able to get a better deal with him because he did come off a pretty rough season, but he may want more term. And so you may have to pay a little bit more to get him for a shorter term, but that would fit into the budgetary constraints of the team.
Here's some names that David Poile did not go after or that did not sign, that they signed with other teams that were maybe could have been mentioned or at least fit the bill for like what he needed. He needs to get a winger that can provide scoring depth. David Perron, $4.75 million a year, 2-year deal. Burakovsky, who we mentioned before, $5.5 million. Mason Marchment, who I had forgotten was even available, $4.5 million a year for Dallas. That's a pretty good signing for Dallas. Good winger there. Andrew Kopp, $5.6 million for Detroit. Detroit signed Perron and Kopp. So those are all like, you know, in my mind when I was thinking about what David needed to spend on wingers to replace guys, it was like around $5 or $6 million, and all those guys $5 or $6 million. Maybe those players just really wanted to go to Detroit. Maybe Burakovsky really loves Seattle, and so that's why he went there. But it seems to me like if those players wanted to – I mean, Nashville's more competitive than Detroit and Seattle right now. I think we can agree on that. And yet players went to Detroit and Seattle. So, except Marchment went to Dallas, which I think is probably a good fit for him. I don't know. I feel like, you know, if he's going to spend – if David Poile is really going to spend to the cap – is he going to go get like $8-1 million players? That doesn't make any sense. Sounds like kind of that's the idea, though. It seems like he's got all his money in his pocket. He can't bet, and he has nothing to buy now.
Would you rather sign $8-1 million players or $1-8 million player?
I think this team needs an $8 million player that can play like an $8 million player in the top six or the top nine. It can make a really big difference on offense.
Yeah.
Phil Kessel could be that guy. He's not going to cost $8 million. He'll be less than that.
No, yeah. But I think there's still other players available. Is Milano still out there, or did he end up signing?
Yeah, Sonny Milano is available. But since they signed Sherwood, I feel like that's the kind of value. And Milano is much better than Sherwood. But since they signed Sherwood and Zach Sanford, I bet they're not going to go after a Sonny Milano type like level player. But I don't know. There seems to be another plan that we are not privy to. Usually what happens is at some point there will be a sort of closing press conference from David Poile where he kind of is saying like, okay, right, we're done with our major shopping. Yep. We have not heard anything about that. So presumably they're still at work.
I read somewhere, and you know, I know you can't trust everything you read, but that Nashville is apparently in on the Kedri talks too. And I think, you know, if you're looking at,
Kadri.
If you're looking at, okay, so they're in on those talks. He's going to cost a pretty penny that the Preds don't really have. He's going to take term, which the Preds don't really want to give out. How are they in on those talks? There's only one answer to that question. You know what that is?
What?
They're trying to trade somebody. They're trying to offload a big contract.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. A lot of people seem to think that they're trying to trade Dante Fabro or something. I don't really see that, but I feel like their defense is probably just, since they made that upgrade with McDonough, they're done. But then again, they went and signed a goalie, and I didn't think they'd do that either. So somehow I think we'll find out more in the next couple weeks. Before we conclude, I did want to just talk about Dev Camp really quick. I know you and I were at, and many others were at the Prospect Showcase. I thought it was really good. I mean, this was one of the best talent. This is one of the best groups of talent they've had at Dev Camp Week. Not the all time best or anything, but very, very good. I mean, a lot of really solid players, and even some of the, you know, non prospects in there, the guys that are just invites to fill out the rosters, even they shined. I mean, like there were some really interesting play from those guys. What stood out to you about the prospect showcase that we saw?
So I think one of the more, you know, surprising things to me was there was a group of forwards that were working together that I was really excited to see. And it seemed like I kept switching spaces to try to get a better shot at them being forwards, but I really didn't get to see that. And that was to see what?
Go ahead. Who was the line?
It was Parsonen with LaRue and Kimmel.
There you go.
That was the line.
That is interesting.
It's a line I wanted to see. And I'm going to tell you, you know, Eric Dune, who we've had on the show very recently to talk about the draft, is very, very high on Juuso Parsonen. And I can tell you, after seeing him in person, I understand why. You know, I think he made the comment that he felt that Parsonen, out of all of the other kids at development camp, probably had the best shot of playing a significant time on the NHL roster this season. And I can see why.
Yeah.
Very impressive skater, very offensively minded, but also very just sound all around. So,
Like physical, plays his size well.
Yeah. He's gotten, if you go back and look at his draft picture, he just looks like a wisp of a boy, but he's grown into his body very well, and he seems very comfortable in it. The other player that I wasn't going to camp, I'm going to look specifically at this player, but Adam Ingram, who is someone that, you know, I didn't see coming on the draft at all. Much taller than I really thought he was going to be, but plays very comfortably in his height, if that makes sense. He's not a big bulky player to be as tall as he is, but he skates like he's very confident in his size.
Back on Juuso Parsonen really quick. He looks the part. Like there's some guys you see in that setting and you're like, I can see the player inside that needs to be molded, And then some of them you're like, I don't think you're going to make the roster. But the ones that stand out to you are like the guys that look like they belong on the NHL roster right now. And they, right. they just look the part. And Yusuf Parsons looks like that. He's just very confident. He's got his the physical side of his game, I think, is definitely there to be able to play at the NHL level. I guess the only question would be speed. I mean, I don't think he's like a burner or anything, but I don't think it's going to be an issue the way he plays. No, very smart. Ingram, yeah, I did like what I see. I think Ingram's the example for me. It's like I could definitely see what they like in this guy. I think he's it's going to take a while for him to get there. I would feel the same way about Cole O'Hara. I'm telling you what, I've never seen a younger looking 18-year-old than Cole O'Hara.
Yeah.
I kid you not, I was like, we need to check this kid's ID. I think this kid might be 11 years old.
Did you think he looked young?
He looks extremely young, Sean. Everyone was commenting on it. Like, Kayla Anderson turned to me and said, he is a baby. I mean, he really is. He's a very nice guy. I mean, like we talked to him after the prospect game. He's got now. I will say this: he's got man hair for sure. Like his hair is definitely on point, veteran level hair, but just very very rookie. I mean, it's pretty interesting. But anyways, the other guy that I want to two other guys I want to talk about: Luke Evangelista. I think he's kind of the star of the dev camp right now, although Yaroslav Askarov would give him a run for that because Askarov, I bet if you polled the fans that were in attendance of that game, who was their favorite to watch, I bet Askarov is up there.
Yep, he's got to be. And that's, I think he really shined a couple of times, and it was was in the second half of the game. Kimmel had a penalty shot. And was coming in pretty hot, and he came out of the crease, ended up, you know, probably I'd say it was a trip. He wasn't afraid to come out there and cause chaos.
If you've played any NHL video games, it's like when you accidentally select the goalie and then you press the cross check button or the check button, and he does the poke check out of the crease. That's what it looked like, but he made the stop, and it was definitely probably a trip.
And Kimmel went into the net. I mean, he didn't look like he got hurt or anything, but
yeah, I was wondering about that. I was like, I wonder if the coaches said anything. So I was like, he could have hurt that guy.
Could have hurt him. Yeah, it was pretty intense.
And they apparently had Kimmel's contract there on hand. Like they had his contract in hand, ready for him to sign his three-year entry level contract after the game. They posted pictures of that too. So I wonder if they would have, if he gotten injured, I wonder if that contract would have gotten signed yet.
That's a great question, and that'd be pretty rough.
Anyways, Askarov, aside from almost injuring his own player, Askarov looks amazing. I mean, he is an incredible specimen. Like 19 years old, and he looks like he does in the net. It is astonishing. Like, that dude is the real deal. He's going to be good. You know, you never know how guys can develop. I mean, I'm sure there's parts of his game that can be dissected. I couldn't tell you like specifically one error with his game right now. I mean, I'm not saying he's flawless. I'm saying like, I can't see it myself. I haven't seen him enough, but, he just looks kind of like a freak, right? I mean, he's just like, he's big, he's quick, he's agile. He makes decisions. He's like fun to watch. He looks very confident in the net. I mean, he's going to be a good one.
I'm very excited to see him continue developing. And I think you'll see him, you know, usually they say it takes goalies longer to develop and all these things, but like you said, he's, I think he just turned 20. I think he's a freshly minted 20-year-old, and he looks like he's been doing this at the level he's doing it at for a lot longer. Very confident, I guess I'd say. You don't usually see that in kids that just turned 20.
Now, there was another goalie prospect that you were a big fan of, Sean.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I think he was an invite. I don't think he's in the system.
Right.
What was his first name? I can't remember his first name, but his last name was Chiarlo. Or something like that. Chiarlo. Yep. I saw him on Tuesday in camp, and he looked good. He was stopping everything he saw. And then he came in and played the first half of development camp game and did a really good job there. We had a really good view of him for that half of the game. I think you were impressed too. I mean, you got to admit, for a guy coming in, not in the system, being an invitee and just someone who was there, you know, not on a contract, not in the system, he played like he wanted a contract.
There's been a lot. There's always some camp invitees that stand out. Yeah. There's not usually a lot of them. But there's usually at least one or two that stand out. I mean, I want to say Cole Smith was originally an invitee that got stuck on the roster. Maybe I could be wrong on that, but and there's some that become sort of like these, you know, urban legends. They're guys that like, oh, he's going to get a contract, and then he never does. So, like, one guy that stood out was Matt Barbolini. He's like he scored a couple goals, and he stands. I mean, he's not a legitimate prospect or anything, but
what else did he do, Alex?
Broke the glass.
Ooh, how do you do that?
Ripped a wrister. I think I blame the glass quality on that one, but I mean, not that he. I feel like maybe he hit the pane of glass that was ready to go.
You're probably right. It was at Centennial, so
yeah.
Sure it's seen its fair share of action.
I thought Adam Willsby also looked pretty good out there. I did like Cole Anunmi. You know, he did a couple of good things. Luke Prokop looks pretty good. I already mentioned Cole O'Hara. I think he had a really nice play on the left side. He's a good little winger. And Zach LaRue didn't stand out to me for any particular reason. You kind of are waiting for him to like have that moment where he's like, oh yeah, this is the guy that we were expecting. Haven't seen that yet, but, and then Igor Afanasyev did not play in the prospect showcase, but he was on hand to translate Askarov's questions if necessary, which they were not necessary. We didn't get him in the postgame then. So anyways, the prospect game, if you've never been, you missed out. It was a good one. That's the last hockey that we'll see in this town until training camp. So late September.
Yeah, right? It's going to be a while.
That's right. So there you go. Development camp. Poyle maybe working on a trade. Is he going to spin to the cap? We don't know. And then the underwhelming and slightly confusing signings that they made over the last week. So anything
maybe
else?
We'll have some clarity by next week, you know,
perhaps maybe we can have another show about, oh, well, it makes sense now why they did all that, because they went and traded for insert player here.
Right. That guy sounds good.
All right, thank you very much for listening to the show. You can check out all of our hockey coverage at AtoZSports.com. Please also go to OnTheForeCheck.com as well. And follow me on Twitter at AlexDarty1. Follow Sean on Twitter at SCSOTF. And we will see everyone next week.